Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of College Hockey Talk. On today's podcast, I welcome back a very special guest in Brooke Disher. She is an incoming sophomore on the Boston University women's hockey team, and she led all freshmen on her team in points last season. Brooke is also a U18 gold medalist for Team Canada. Thank you so much for coming back on the podcast today, Brooke, and how is everything going?
Yeah, not much, just enjoying the sunshine at home right now and some family time.
Nice. How has your summer been going so far? And do you have anything fun planned, whether it's hockey related or not?
It's been good. It's been really hot at home, so that's been nice. Been on the lake a little bit. I just went on a little trip to see my best friend, and that's kind of been the highlight of my summer so far.
That's good. And obviously, you're getting ready for the upcoming season, I assume. So what are some things you're working on this summer to hope improve your game for next season?
Yeah, I'm skating with boys right now, and I did already today, and they all have like such quick release, and that's kind of been something I've been working on, is shooting in stride and trying to get my shot off quicker and from all angles.
Is it different training with boys than training versus with women and girls?
It's definitely like a higher pace for sure, and I'm really fortunate to have a good group of guys that I get to skate with. They're all super nice.
Are they all college hockey players, or some of them juniors as well?
Yeah, juniors, and I'm in from Western Canada, so the WHL is pretty popular too.
That's awesome. Well, as a freshman, let's sort of jump in and talk about your last season and sort of what you've been up to since we last had you on the podcast. So as a freshman, we talked about sort of the adjustments that you thought you had to make to college hockey. But now, since you've passed your freshman year, what was the biggest adjustment you had to make to college hockey from your perspective?
Yeah, I think honestly, just like sticking to your game. I think for me, I kind of tried to play a more safe game for the first couple months of the season for sure. And I think just like you can still play your game at the next level too. You just might have to get a little bit faster, a little bit stronger, but you should always stick to what you're best at.
When did you start sort of transitioning from playing it safe to sort of being more yourself?
I wouldn't honestly say like it took me a little bit of a long time, but definitely I feel like December probably. And then tired, I guess stressed, and like not feeling like I was playing good. And then I went home and got to see my family a bit, and even at Christmas time too, we're kind of back and playing games and not in school, so like a little break from classes, and got to like focus on hockey more. And I think from then on I started to play my game more.
Yeah, because talking to a lot of players, they're saying how confidence is such a huge part of the game now. Like, so easy to lose confidence, yet it's so hard to gain confidence, but it's such a huge part of the game because players, when they play with confidence, are much better players, and just mentally you sort of feel that way. So how do you work on your confidence throughout a season, even when you're struggling a little bit on the stat sheet?
Yeah, I think actually I had really good advice to me one time, was that to always your strengths are what separate you from the rest. So like as much as you can think about your weaknesses, you should also be working on your strengths constantly, because those are what will separate you. And I think just like really working on knowing what I excel in and how I can bring that to my game more.
Now, obviously you play in hockey, so what's it like playing in hockey? It's just a competition you face every weekend. Obviously, I think it's the most underrated conference in women's college hockey. I hope that more teams make the tournament next season. But from your perspective, what's it like playing some of those top teams like Northeastern, Boston College, UConn, Providence, teams like that?
Yeah, I agree. I hope that more hockey teams make the tournament too. I think it is a little underrated because it's very much a closer league. Like obviously Northeastern was quite a bit better than us when we played them, but they did have close games with other people. And I think when we going into a game, like it really could go either way every game. And it kind of just brings a competitive spirit because you can't just not show up and we're going to win this one anyway.
What was your favorite road arena to play in? It doesn't even need to be in Hockey East, but just in general.
Oh, gosh. I kind of based like the arena off of like how I played that game. And I think about that kind of the next seasons too. Like, oh, I like playing here because I thought I had a good game here last year. And for me, I think I did like Providence, which is like weird because there was not a lot of people in the stands. And we played the last game in UConn's old rink with them. So I guess next year when we'll go, they'll have a new rink. But I did like Northeastern too.
Yeah.
And BC was nice too.
Yeah. I like BC's rink a lot, but there's times, at least for women's hockey games, where it feels very empty. I feel like if there was a more better atmosphere, I think it would be one of the better rinks
totally
for women's hockey.
You. There's also no gate on the back side of the bench, so it kind of gets tiring jumping over.
Mm-hmm. I will say, though, I've been to UConn's new rink. It's absolutely beautiful. So I feel like it's going to be, at least for your perspective, much nicer than the visiting locker room at Freitas.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, we talked about sort of building confidence throughout the season. One of the things you said that you felt helped you build your confidence was sort of during the winter break when you weren't focused on school so much, but sort of focused on hockey. But how did you sort of learn how to balance both academics and hockey at such a high level? Because your team did a very good job making the all hockey's academic team and all that stuff. So clearly you guys are doing a great job, not just on the ice, but off the ice as well.
Yeah, it definitely was like a huge adjustment. I think I'm in Questrom School of Business too, so it definitely is quite difficult. And I think it just like the more you like are not on top of your homework, the more stressed you are. And kind of one thing that was nice for me second semester is I got to load my classes up on a couple days so that I kind of had like, well, I didn't have class on Fridays, so I could really get some homework done those days. And my Mondays weren't, it was mostly my middle of the week that was pretty stacked, so my Fridays and Mondays were homework days, where in the fall I had a lot of classes every day. So actually going into September, I put all my classes kind of on Tuesday, Thursday, so I have some days to get some homework done.
Yeah. No, I will say I feel like it gets much easier once you get past your freshman year, just because you're taking more classes you're interested in. You have to do those gen ed classes. At least I had to do those, where you have to take math, English, all these classes that you're not interested in at all. But, and it's also can be a very tough subject for some people. So I feel like after your freshman year, once you're used to it, it gets much more easier to sort of balance your schedule. At least that's how I felt.
Yeah. And I think honestly, just getting help like right away helps so much. Like even if it's after your first class and you don't really need help, but if somebody could just go over the work again for you, it's so much more beneficial than kind of waiting until you start to struggle a little bit to get some help in a class.
Now, you scored your first collegiate goal against UConn in the middle of November in the final game at their old rank. So I just want to ask you, talk about that goal and where do you keep the puck today?
Yeah, honestly, I was like kind of like in that slump too. I was like, I feel like I kind of had some chances, like hit a few posts. And then, I can't even remember like who was on the ice or whatever really, but it was kind of just like a loose puck. And I'm not somebody who like normally scores from the point, but it was a point shot and there was a lot of people in front of the net and it just went straight in. And I actually keep the puck. My mom has an old bin for like she's kept everything. But I have a little bit in my room that's kind of some of the newer stuff that's in there.
You got framed at some point with the other stuff too, like the gold medal and all that. I feel like that would be a good collection for you to frame.
Yeah, the gold medal is actually up because we got to keep our jerseys and we got rings too. So
did you get to pick which jersey you got to keep, the red or white one, or did they pick that one for you?
Yeah, so you get the one that you win in.
Okay, which was the white one, I assume?
White, we got white.
I like the red one more, personally.
I did too.
Canadian red with the Maple Leafs looks so cool.
I did too, but I think after that game, white definitely holds a special place.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and that's coming from an American as well. I think those red Canadian jerseys look awesome. That's why I wish whenever USA play Canada, it's red and then the blue. I think that looks super cool, like visually on the ice.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, your team got to go to many cool places throughout your freshman year, one of those places being Las Vegas. What was that experience like for your team going to Vegas and getting to play some really tough out-of-conference teams?
Yeah, it was actually so cool just to be in Vegas too. And a lot of my family got to come because it's only like a 2-hour flight for me from home. So a lot of my family was there, which was really nice. And I think the U, and I don't even know like if it was an NCAA thing that organized it, but we got to go to the Vegas game, and then our team did like a Red Rocks hike too, so it was super nice. I felt like we got to do like a lot of experiences too, not just hockey, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then we played Yale our first game, which they are a really like good system team. They just play their system so well, and we honestly had a really good game. We just kind of, they're a little bit better than us, and in the third period they got a couple chances and capitalized on them. And then I would say our next game, we definitely didn't play our best hockey, and that's from me too. I was not my best hockey, but I don't know, I think that's how things happen. And we played Penn State and they beat us then too. We kind of were in like a scoring slump for a little bit. We didn't score either of those games. And it took us, I think, two games too when we were home to finally score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the Vegas Golden Knights game like? Because that, it seems like less hockey sometimes with the pregame show that they put on.
I know some people don't like it too, but I think it's so cool. And I've kind of been a fan of Vegas since they've been in the league. I really like Mark Stone and Theodore too. He's 27 too. But yeah, I thought it was so cool. They did like their little night on the ice before the game and stuff. And we got on the Jumbotron a couple of times, so that was cool too.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm a big Jack Eichel guy too, so it's fun watching Vegas play. And it was cool seeing them. I know. I saw his final game at BU. I know he doesn't want to remember it, but it was a lot of fun just getting the chance to see my first national championship game. But
yeah,
getting back to sort of your career a little bit, you know, I think Vegas is a lot of fun, really cool spot, and happy they won the cup. Hopefully next year will be the Bruins, though. What's the Red Rocks thing like? I'm curious about that. That sounds super fun.
Oh, yeah, it was like a hike, and it was actually really cool, but my teammates will probably make fun of me a little bit. I am like super afraid of heights, like flying. I am so anxious. I like am death gripping the handles. And there was kind of a couple spots that was like cliff climbing, and I'm not having my best time, but it was cool once we were up there, and the sights were awesome too.
Now, I was told it took you guys a day. You guys were stuck in the airport for a day when you were leaving. How'd you handle that?
Oh gosh. It is what it is, and you kind of have to expect things like that when you travel, but it definitely was nice to be showered and in a bed the next night or 2 days later, I guess.
Oh, for sure. That's brutal, because like you can't sleep at all in those airport lobbies, in my opinion. So
no, and for some reason it was so cold. We were all trying to like lay on the floor, and which is gross too, but really not anything else you could do. And it was freezing. Everyone was freezing.
Yeah. Well, that must have been nice to sort of, I don't know, get on the plane and go home. Because I feel like when you're stuck in one area, it just makes me very antsy. So now you guys also got to play at Fenway Park in an outdoor game against Holy Cross. What was that experience like for you getting to play outside at Fenway Park? And just talk about that game as well, even though your team lost.
Yeah, obviously like not a good game in terms of like how we played probably, and I think we won a few rematches against Holy Cross, but that was definitely like one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. We kind of got lucky because we were the night game, and the first game it was like so hard to play because it was really like not a cold winter in Boston this year, and it was like a wet slushy like snow, and the ice was horrible for the first game. And then we were the next game, and it snowed in warm-up, which was kind of cool, too. And it was dark out. And then, yeah, the ice, like, froze perfectly for the three periods, and it was really, really fun.
I also saw that you guys got to take the train to one of the practices. How cool was that?
Yeah, we took the T, and I don't ever hardly take the T. And taking it in your gear is even, like, more uncomfortable, but it was a lot of fun and good photo op, I think.
Yeah. Did anyone sort of like ask you like why you're wearing full hockey equipment on the tee?
Not me personally, but I'm sure some of the girls got mm-hmm. questioned. I think a lot of people like knew too, because there was a lot of like marketing about the weekend going on too.
Yeah. Well, even if like you know about it, it's just sort of weird to go on the tee and sort of see entire women's hockey team. Like you just sort of don't expect that. But that looked like a lot of fun for you guys to go in that. I think that's good team bonding as well.
Yeah, it was fun. It did make us a little bit tired for the skate because there was a lot of walking involved too, and
Yeah.
locking your gears twice the workout.
Would you say though that was probably the best hockey photos you ever got of yourself, like at Fenway Park with the snow and your that BU like alternate sort of throwback jersey? I thought those looked really cool.
Yeah, I did like those too. And yeah, I would say so. It's definitely up there.
Now you sort of answered this next question, but I am a little curious to sort of dive into it a little more. But I thought you improved a lot as the season progressed. So my question is, what was the biggest improvement that you made to your game that led to more offensive success that you had on the ice this past season?
Yeah, I think I did touch on this and just like knowing what your strengths are. And for me, I think skating is something that I like skating the puck and joining the rush is always something I've been really comfortable doing, and I think has helped my game. And I started doing that more, and I think just like, yeah, being confident, and it's easier said than done, obviously, but confidence is really key, and just knowing like you are in control of like how well you play, really, or like how hard you work. So the obviously it's every yeah just I'm stumbling on my words trying to think about it because I did kind of touch on it, but yeah, just knowing what's in my control too and how I can get better every day.
Now, I do want to ask you about the bean pot because that's obviously a lot of fun, especially as a Bostonian myself. What's it like playing in that tournament from your perspective and just the excitement that's around it? And how were you sort of aware of how big the bean pot was before you came to BU, not being from the New England area?
Obviously I like heard about it and people talk about it, but I think you don't really know, like especially in women's sports where like things are downplayed. Yeah, but it was super cool. We got the police escort to Boston College, and we kind of weren't as lucky because we obviously played Northeastern and they were really good this year in the first game, but we had a really good game against them, and kind of it's tough to hold off their one offensive line, but yeah, it's super cool experience. And I know the men's side, they had lots of fans and stuff too, being at TD Garden. So I'm excited that we're there next year.
Yeah, I heard about that. I don't want to get your thoughts on going to the Garden next year for the bean pot. I guess it's only for the championship game, though. I didn't realize that. I thought it was for all four games, but maybe I'm wrong.
It's for the championship and then the consolation game. So either way, like all four teams do get to play there.
That's
But
cool.
yeah, I think it's about time, right? It's 2023 now. Like, I think too, it really will bring more people, and we can, I think even like BU can have more people there too. I'm really excited.
Yeah, no, I remember talking to Coach Watchhorn about it, and she says it's actually going to bring more fans, she feels like, just because the venue itself, like people just like going to the Garden
Yeah.
no matter what the game is. So, like, if you put an event at the Garden, people are going to go no matter what. And then they're going to watch some of the event. If it's a women's hockey game, they're going to like it and they're going to want to go to more games. And it just helps grow the sport even more. And I didn't really think of that about it from that perspective. And that's sort of why we both sort of agreed that at some point they're going to have to move the Frozen Fours out of regional sites into more sort of neutral site arenas, like in the NHL and AHL games, which are arenas, which I thought was a pretty interesting perspective from her.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of surprised that they don't do that already. I think it's not really fair that it's at regional sites. Like, it should be at some sort of like neutral place, honestly.
Yeah.
I think, like the guys were in Tampa, the girls were in Duluth. That's not really the same.
Yeah. It's going to be in Durham though next year, which is pretty close to you guys if you make it that far. So it's not that much of a, at least for you, it could be an easy road trip.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea.
Yes.
That's a really nice rink too.
Obviously now, since it's not Olympic ice sheet, it'll be a little more even for the teams. 'Cause I remember one year when they had it there, there's still the Olympic ice sheet. So it was like very hard. It was sort of a, these teams that have sort of changed their style of play just because of it, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it does still seem like a little bit big for sure, that arena, but yeah, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Well, I hope they bring it back to, like I said, sort of neutral site rinks. I think Gowanus would be a great spot for a women's Frozen Four,
I
and
think
just
Wally B would be a great spot.
it would be too as well. I think Boston should get one. The fact they haven't had one in like 10, 12 years makes no sense to me, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe in the next few years, we'll see what happens. But Now, I do have to sort of talk about this game sort of on a down note, but you guys lost to Merrimack in the Hockey East playoffs this past season. What'd you learn from that playoff game that you think is going to help your team moving forward?
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think that, because I, if I remember correctly, we were like 7th seed and Merrimack was 10th seed.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, you just can't count anybody out, especially in Hockey East. And every game you have to bring it. And I think, like, it kind of, it's not, I don't know. It's, I honestly, it was a good wake up call, too, that we didn't even make playoffs. And so that way we know going into next year, like, we really have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and what sort of your what did you take away from your team's performance this past season? Obviously, record-wise, it wasn't ideal, but at least in my perspective, I thought they showed a lot of growth this year with some of the players that you had, and I'm really excited with sort of with obviously with Tara coming in. I think your team can definitely have a chance to improve significantly from last year to this year, especially with the step forwards that I think a lot of your teammates made.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone is really excited about the new coaching change too. And yeah, I think that obviously it's not like we got blown out of the water by teams really. Like, obviously our games against Northeastern weren't as close, but we were in overtimes with teams and we had a, I think it was like 6 or 7 game win streak in January and February too. So it's really, we like did have, I mean, our last half of the season was quite a bit better than our start half, but I think it does matter like how you start too. And we do have to be ready kind of from September and play until February. There's no really breaks.
Now let's talk a little bit about the coaching change. So obviously Brian DeRocher announced his retirement, one of the best guys around in college hockey. So certainly going to miss him. But what's the coaching transition been like from your perspective as a player, and how do you sort of plan to adapt to the different style of coaching between Coach Watchorn and Coach DeRocher? Is there a different coaching style from your perspective meeting both of them, or is it sort of similar?
Yeah, I think obviously they have like a little bit of different coaching styles. I think one thing about BD is he has like such a BU spirit, and he's always wanted to do community things too. And not that Tara is not, but I think that's one thing I'll remember about my time at BU is how much involved in the community BD is. And I think Tara wants to continue that on too, and I hope I can help with that too. And yeah, Tara, she's been a mentor for me for a long time, and I'm super, super excited. She obviously was my coach at Worlds too, and she just has so much knowledge of the game, and I think she's super excited too, which is also so important, is that your coaches are enthusiastic about coming every day, and I know she is, and I think Courtney and Megan are as well.
Yeah, I want to ask you, did you have the chance to meet the assistants as well, or are you going to meet them at some point next season?
Yes, I have met them both briefly.
Mm-hmm. And have you had the chance to sort of meet any of the upcoming freshmen, and what can BU fans sort of expect from them? Obviously, I'm aware of Alex Law because of the Worlds last year, a really good player, but anyone else that fans should be aware of that is coming to your team next season?
Yeah, I think honestly, they should be aware of them all. I think they're all, I have met them all, and they're all really great people. So I think they're excited to come in and get to work too. I know Tara's gonna expect a lot from them, and I think they expect a lot from themselves. Mari too is a goalie who is on our world team too. She's great. And then I've played with Michaela Blomquist the last, well, 2 years before I came to BU, and she actually lives really close to me, so it'd be nice to have somebody from around home that'll be there too.
Now, what are your team's goals and expectations for next year? From your team perspective, what is sort of like your benchmark? Like, what do you want to accomplish next year when talking to Coach Watchorn and the rest of your teammates?
I don't even think we should, like, we really have a benchmark. And I think it's honestly, like, you really can't, like, count any team out or, like, say that so-and-so team is going to win. I think we have a lot of, obviously, new talent coming in and new knowledge and experience going to be on our bench. So I think the possibilities are endless, but I think we definitely, after last year, want to hold ourselves to a higher standard and be a more of a threat within our league and then in outer league play too. And I think really that if we all like work hard and do as well as we can, we could for sure, like be in the tournament or even further, and that's obviously everyone's goal.
I do have to ask this because I like to know, do you know what your non-conference schedule is for next season, or are you still figuring that out?
I do know. I'm not know. I don't know if I'm supposed to say.
If you don't know if you can say, you don't have to. It's not a big deal. I'm okay, just like to know.
I do think that we were playing Syracuse at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah, that's one thing that they're coming to us, which will be fun to play them out of conference. And I think we play Harvard out of conference, which is not really like, it's kind of weird to think that they're not in our conference, obviously. But yeah, so that'll be nice because it's not a big trip. But
Yeah, that should be exciting, especially since I like that rink a lot. That's a fun one to play in. So, but we're now in the segment I like to call the non-hockey segment. We're asking some non-hockey questions just to get to know you a little bit more off the ice. Now, this one's a little bit different than last time, Brooke, because I just try to find random questions on the internet that I think would be interesting to get hear your perspective on. So let's sort of talk about your team. So obviously last time we had you on, we talked about who had the best style on some of your junior teams you played on. But now it's been a year. Who has the best style on the BU women's hockey team?
I think one thing about being on a team with like so many girls is a lot of people have their own style. And I don't even know if I could say like the best style, but somebody's style I really like, and she probably knows this too, is Lacey Martin. She has great style. I love most of her outfits. And I think she always, it's like she's always wearing something different too.
Yeah. I think she made our top 10 list for best styles in women's college hockey. I forgot which number, so I apologize about that, but I know she was in the top 10, so I think that says a lot.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, we're trying, I'm a big fashion person and I love clothes too, but I think me and her are trying to maybe get something together to do like a themed dress day for one of the games this year.
Could be Beanpot or opening night, or it has to be a big game. You can't just do it on a random November night. It has to be a big game. That's all my recommendation.
Yeah, I think probably Beanpot, and hopefully we're in the final game.
Exactly. I would say you have the best style on the team just because you're on the podcast right now. I liked the Thorsen Fenway outfit. I thought that was dope.
Thank you. Yeah, I do love clothes, and I think I try to wear something different to every game.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is your guilty pleasure song?
I don't know if I have one, but anybody who knows me, and I think our team definitely knows this, is I'm a huge Swiftie, and I'm crying because she's not coming playing concerts in Canada yet, and I didn't get tickets for any of the stage shows, but I don't even know if I could pick like one song of hers, but I just love them all so much.
I literally had a Taylor Swift song in mind for my guilty pleasure one. I would say Style. I think that's a good song to jam out to.
I like that song too, and I know Julia Nearest made fun of me one time for this, but I love the Reputation album, and that's like a couple of the songs that are definitely part of my pregame playlist.
Now, what is your most embarrassing hockey moment?
I don't know fully, but I definitely have like an embarrassing soccer moment that my family tells pretty much everyone to this day. I'm actually not a good soccer player at all, but I did play soccer one year, and we were at a tournament, and I like always played goalie, but I don't know, I was young too, so like eventually they give other people a turn, so I was playing out one time. And I didn't realize that the goalies like switched nets after the, it's not called a period in soccer, but I don't know of anything
halftime.
Else. Yeah, halftime. And I scored on my own net. Like I stole the ball from somebody, ran towards my net and like kicked it in the goal. And it was the go ahead goal in like the gold medal game of the tournament. And they won because I shot it in my own net.
Hey, it's only a youth soccer tournament, so it's not the end of the world. Yeah. I wouldn't lose my mind over that personally.
No, I wouldn't, but it definitely did end my soccer career.
Yeah, if it makes you feel any better, my only goal I ever scored in soccer was when I slipped on the goal line on the ball and flew into the net, but it counted as a goal. So that's my only soccer goal I've ever scored. So, yeah, it did. I think for me, everyone always says what I always say what my most embarrassing hockey moment was, but I'll say my most embarrassing podcast moment was probably when I thought of something hilarious during the middle of an interview and I was trying to hold in my laughter, and that was pretty tough. And you could see in the video that was very funny to look back on. It was like one of the first ones I ever did. So I'd probably say that. Now, what is the most interesting thing you've read or seen this week?
I don't know about this week. Oh, actually, I guess I have two. I was like super invested in the submarine story, and I thought about like conspiracy theories and like maybe it was all a plan or whatever. But my roommates will laugh at me. For some reason, my TikTok was like all tornado videos one time, and so I was kind of into it though too, and I like learned all these facts about tornadoes. And there was actually a huge tornado in Alberta I think 2 or 3 days ago, and I was kind of into that and watching the videos.
Yeah, no, that submarine, I don't know why you would do that. That does not seem fun to see the Titanic and spend $250,000 to do it. Not for me personally.
No, me neither.
I would say the most interesting thing that I saw this week was NHL draft stuff, trying to see where everyone's going to go. And yeah, it was pretty cool. It was cool seeing some Hockey East guys go in the first round, like Matthew Wood, and some of the BC guys as well. I think it's going to be fun to watch those guys play next season. Sure. Last non-hockey question is, how can you tell if someone has a good sense of humor?
I think just like people who find humor in lots of things do. I think, I don't know, I like to be in a laughy mood a lot too. And I think that I have a lot of fun with those people. My roommates all have good sense of humor. I think we had a lot of laughs this year and it just made the year a lot better.
Yeah, for me it's just sarcasm, just because if you can get that, I think we can get along very well, because I'm sort of a sarcastic person at times. I actually forgot about one non-hockey question. What's your favorite holiday and what's your least favorite holiday?
So I'm not a big holiday person, but my least favorite is definitely Halloween, and I'm not a big Christmas person. But I would say maybe Easter is my favorite holiday because I love chocolate. But my mom has always done a little egg hunt for us. And I think it means the hot weather's on its way. And I love hot weather. So
that's a bold Christmas take, because I think it's, in my opinion, the best holiday. I would say my least favorite is probably Halloween as well, just because I feel like once you're an adult, you really can't do anything with it. You can't go trick-or-treating anymore. And like also if you don't like dressing up, you really can't do anything with it. So I've never been a big Halloween guy myself, so I'm with you on that one. Now, getting back to some hockey questions now, or just podcasts, what's your thoughts on the podcast since we last had you on?
I think I watched Watch's interview too, and I think you guys are doing, well, you are doing an awesome job, and I feel like you always have a variety of questions, and it's really nice to see you growing the game of women's sports. So thank you.
Well, thank you for the kind words. It means a lot to me. And obviously, I want to ask you, did you have the chance to sort of listen back to your interview and what are your thoughts on it? I thought it was pretty cool to hear your perspective before the season started. Now it's pretty sort of interesting to sort of look back on that interview and hear you now and sort of your takeaways from after the season happened.
Yeah. Okay. Is this probably bad me, but I haven't watched it in a long time. I think I watched it like...
It's fine. It came out like September, so...
Yeah, around the time that it came out. But I actually had... Someone texted me the other day. They were like listening to their podcast person, and they had saw that I did the interview. I guess they didn't know before, and they were like, "Oh, I just watched your interview," and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that was a long, long time ago." But yeah.
Well, who should we have on the podcast next? I'm curious to hear anyone that we haven't had on, or it could be someone we've had on when you want to hear back.
Maybe. Either Maeve, Kelly, or Clara Yoon. They're two of my roommates this year, or even Sid Healy. I think they would all be good people to have on there.
But, well, I don't want to tease anything, but Maeve Kelly will be on the podcast. We recorded the interview with her sometime this month. I'll let you know first before everyone else. So something you can get excited about.
I didn't know that. We should have came on together.
I'm sorry. If I knew what the schedules would be like, I would totally love to do that. I think that would be a lot of fun. Well, before we end this interview, anything you want to talk about, the floor is all yours. It could be about anything.
No, I think we've covered a lot today. And again, thank you for all you do for women's hockey.
Well, thank you so much, Brooke, again for coming on the podcast. I really do
Thank you for
appreciate your
having me.
time. I loved having the chance to talk with you. It's a lot of fun. We got to do this again after next season to sort of hear your perspective on that. But I just want to let you know, I think you're a great person, great
Thank you.
player, and it's always fun getting the chance to talk with you. So hopefully we get the chance to meet in person after a game sometime.
Yes, come to some games. Go
For sure.
Carriers.
Definitely. I'll definitely come out to some games. I love going.
Sounds
So.
good.
But thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
One step forward and another back. I would never try to fool ya. I'm one heartbeat away from going mad. Girl, when you look like that. Closer, closer, I'ma get closer to you. Yeah, got me, baby, got me.